The Chaos Computer Club is proud to present Alex,
Corey,
and Julian, who will present for you a little audiovisual presentation. More audio than visual. Big hand, please, for the concert.
things in life for free. But you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money.
Let's imagine that in the 1700s, the governments of Europe had decided to promote the progress of symphonic music, or as they thought, promoted, with a system of musical idea patents, meaning that anybody who could describe a new musical idea in words could get a patent, which would be a monopoly on that idea, and then he could sue anybody else that implemented that idea in a piece of music. So a rhythmic pattern could be patented, or a sequence of chords, or a set of instruments to use together, or any idea you could describe in words. Now imagine it's 1800, and you're Beethoven, and you want to write a symphony. You're going to find it's harder to write a symphony that you won't get sued for than write a symphony that sounds good. Because to write a symphony and not get sued, you're going to have to thread your way around thousands of musical idea patents. And if you complained about this, saying that this was getting in the way of your creativity, the patent holders would say, oh, Beethoven, you're just jealous because we had these ideas before you. Why should you steal our idea?
Relax. Have a cigar. Make yourself at home. Hell is full of high court judges, famed saints. We've got cardinals, archbishops, barristers, certified accountants, music critics. They're all here. You're not alone. You're never alone. Not here, you're not. Okay, break's over. Thank you.
Julian, Alex, and Corey. Please, gentlemen, take a bow. Once again. The concert, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. So, if we can have the desk mics on, please.
You have been hacked.
I mean, you have been culturally hacked.
A couple of weeks ago, we were inspired to see if we could inject a payload into your conference, which would be a classical music concert.
Owned.
We've absolutely no plan at this point. Basically, I haven't slept for 3 days because we thought about this a couple weeks ago, and then like all creative people, I think we procrastinated. I was off somewhere, and I came back from the States 5 days ago. We met on Saturday.
In Switzerland,
in Geneva, yeah. We've been having so much fun doing this, but I've slept like 6 hours in 3 days now, so I feel for you guys. What do you want to do?
So either question and answer, or maybe, I don't know, what are you up to?
There might be some more music.
We're quite happy to do question and answer. There aren't actually any mics out in the... Oh, they're coming. So if you just give us a minute, think of your questions. And you guys, rest.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to talk about hardware here for a moment?
Okay, we've got. Yeah.
This always interests me.
That's right. This is music hardware porn. Okay, so if you have a question, there is a mic over there on your right hand side. If you care to line up behind that microphone, please, and feel free to ask the concert questions.
Oh, you want to talk about the hardware?
What?
You should say word.
I think there's a question coming.
There's a question,
I think, over there.
Yep.
Yeah, I have a question, if it's on. Would you be willing to do that in front of the European Parliament?
I didn't understand that. Sorry, I can't.
The question is, would you be willing to do that in front of the European Parliament?
Maybe we should, right?
I think we should.
Set that up, Becky.
Thank you. I think yes.
Thank you.
Eventually.
Okay, next question, please.
Hello. I plus one the European Parliament thing. And I want to ask you, at the beginning of those crazy copyright wars, some of the actors lobbying against freedom were the editors of partitions, musical scores. How is it like today to get your musical scores to play proper music?
I guess when it comes to new music, to composers that are still alive or who passed less than 7 years ago, it shows also in the price of the scores, actually. Mm. It's much more expensive to get those scores than the ones that are already in the public domain and that are published in many different ways and forms. So it's getting expensive to have like the original score, new edition of a new piece, new contemporary piece, modern piece, or, right, Corey?
I'll start on a positive note by saying myself and my colleagues, one of the things we absolutely love, the music that is in the public domain, which is contentious, and it depends, of course, where you are accessing this website, imslp.org, what is it, the Internet Musical Score Library Project, something like that. People are scanning in scores, and they follow the laws as to what's available where. A lot of the repertoire that we love to play, which is 19th century, really early 20th century, 18th century, more and more of that's up there. And I can just say, again, as a poorly organized musician, it's fantastic, because we go to music festivals and we usually don't have the parts we need. And so we are downloading things all the time and taping them together right before the concert.
That's because you're not professional.
We're professional. Okay, right. It's because we're professional
you're
that we're able to do this.
We all do it too.
Yeah. So, in that sense, when it comes to the scores of earlier music, we're in good shape. The late 20th century, it's interesting. I've been spending a lot of time in Paris in the last couple of years, and the stories I get there are particularly frightful about the people in the conservatories who have to have multiple scores of each thing because when they have music contests, for example, they're obliged to have a separate copy for the adjudicators and a separate copy for the person turning pages.
Sure.
So you end up having 3-4 copies, apparently. If you go near a photocopy machine, they will come and handcuff you and drag you off, practically. I'm exaggerating, but it seems like that.
Yeah.
Okay, next question, please. Okay. Oh, and we do have a mic on this side as well, if anyone from this side wants to ask a question. Go ahead.
I have two questions. First, do tell us a little bit about the hardware.
Okay. this is an early revision, but one of the valuable ones. This is an actual Stradivari violin. The real thing, the real deal. We spare no expense for you. And this was made in 1728. It has a nickname, it's called the Ex Milanolo, because it was played by a woman named Teresa Milanolo at the end of the 19th century. I think she died in 1904. And it has a great history. Paganini played on this violin, which is a name people probably know. And other musicians, which for us musicians are well known, Viotti and Dragonetti, and a fr- French violinist by the name of Christian Ferras. Anyway, this is on loan to me. I'm very lucky. Once again, instruments like this, I shouldn't announce. Look it up online. You'll find out very quickly what they're worth. It's on loan because we musicians can't afford these things.
Mine is a Steinway. I didn't come with it. For us pianists, it's always a bit of a challenge to discover what instrument we're going to be playing on the day, but I think it's the same challenge for all my friends and colleagues and concert pianists all over the world. So the good thing with Steinway is it's such high standards that there won't be any bad surprises. So, I mean, I'm lucky enough to have the same kind of piano at home, which is a Steinway B, which is like 2.11 meters from the keyboard up to the end, but you have the concert grand that is usually 60 centimeters bigger. So this is kind of very close to where the concert, the biggest size of the Steinway shoots down, and it's still a bit smaller, but it's very, very high quality, not as expensive as a Stradivari. And then I guess, yeah, it's the surprise every time. I'm so glad the people here at 27C3 could organize this for today, because it's a treat also for me to play on an instrument like that today. So thank you.
Should I say anything about my MacBook Pro?
which one is this? And we do have a question. Did you have another part to your question?
I have a second question, but with that I actually have to ask, can you come to San Francisco?
Can I come to San Francisco? Well, yeah, we just sort of invented this like 3 days ago, but we think it's kind of cool. We'd like to do it again.
And will you be publishing your source code?
Sorry?
Will you be publishing the source code for your presentation?
The source code.
The slides and...
There is a wiki page on the events CCC website, so just look for the concert or impresario, and you'll find all the information to contact us.
Thank you.
And we'll take a question from the outside world.
Yeah, the people on IRC loved it quite a lot, but there was one interesting question. Would you do an 8-bit version?
What was the question? Sorry.
I don't know. Possibly.
One other question was, which is maybe a bit vague, but what was the sense of it?
The sense?
What was the sense of it? Yeah, that made no sense to me either.
Who wants to take this one? Well, I'll tell you the story of this honestly. Julia and I were playing a concert at the end of September. It was a funny thing. It wasn't planned. Somebody got sick. I got called at the last moment. I was just about to go on vacation. I was kind of annoyed. But I hadn't seen... He's a buddy of mine since a long time. So I said, okay, we'll do this gig. Came there, and he said, you got to meet this friend of mine, Alex. He's been a friend of mine since I was a kid. And
he's a recent friend.
Okay. He's a geek, he's into computers, you'll like him, because I'm like this lost geek in the musician world. When I was a teenager, I studied music and math. I really loved both, and then somehow basically an agent from New York came and offered to represent me, and it's the kind of thing when you're a teenager and you get the chance to go travel and play concerts, you say, cool, why not? So I've been doing that for quite a while, and let the math go for a while, but never really outgrew the geek sort of thing, which is why the last few years I've been getting back into programming, and I keep saying to friends of mine like Julia, I'm like, I wish I had people to hang out with who knew what I was talking about. And so he said, you got to meet this friend. So we hang out after the concert, and Alex and I start talking about this, that, and the other. And I guess you gave me a copy of this book, right?
Yes.
So I'm heading back to Paris on the train, and I'm reading this thing, and it's stuff that I feel strongly about. As probably a lot of you do, you know, I'm really perturbed by copyright law, by patent law. I think it's a huge mess. That's obvious from our presentation. So when I got this book, which was just sort of coincidence that he had the same interest, I was like, this is really cool. He also mentioned, he said, there's this great conference in Berlin at the end of the year.
Let's own it.
We should go. We should go present to me. Like, what would I talk about? What would we say? So I read this book and I say, you know, we could kind of do something. And that's when we came up with this idea. Mm-hmm. But like I say, we spoke about it briefly in November because we had to put the submission in, and then we didn't forget about it, but we just had other stuff to do.
Yeah, program.
So, yeah. I'm very proud to say that since 4 days, I think I can actually call myself a professional programmer, because I have two friends in California. We have a little company, And we just signed a contract with a big university in Chicago to provide this thing that we're into, which I shouldn't bore you with, but it's a medical education software, virtual patients and physiology simulation and stuff like that. And so we actually have this contract. It's the first time I'm going to make money not playing the violin. And I think it's just totally awesome. So anyway, so that was what I was doing at the end of December after the concerts. And then we got together a couple days ago and said, well, what are we going to do? We better come up with something. But then it's kind of flowed one thing into another. And it's just, you know, when you feel strongly about something, it's easy to talk about it. And it was just kind of fun to put together.
Should we play another piece?
Okay, this gentleman here.
Yeah. First of all, thank you for beautiful music. Remark about copyright. I played cello in a symphony orchestra, an amateur symphony orchestra in Amsterdam. And one of the problems that we are experiencing is that to have performance rights for a piece which is not in the public domain, we have to rent music from an agency and they have a monopoly on it. One of the problems that a fellow orchestra has encountered is that there was one orchestra who played a piece which was not under public domain. They got the score from the US, which was a lot cheaper, and the people who have this monopoly in the Netherlands found out and made it much harder for their future performances to rent their scores. So I wonder if you have problems with that. Performing things which are not in public, which are in public domain, but being worked against by people who have the monopoly on rights.
I'll start with this. I have to say, I was kind of insulated for this for a lot of years because as a performer, usually, if you're a solo performer like me, you get hired to do concerts. You come in as a soloist with an orchestra, and the rights and the rental of the music and stuff like that is it's taken care of by the promoters, and so I don't see it very often. But I do have some friends who, conductors, for example, who lead orchestras. I've been, a good friend of mine who was a fellow violin student, a guy by the name of Lawrence Golan, actually ended up being one of the co-defendants in a court. I don't know if it was the really famous case that went up on the Supreme Court, but this is exactly the story that I hear, that actually their programming ends up being distorted, that there are things that they'd like to play, 20th century repertoire, then in the end, they just don't have the funds to do it. And this kind of thing is really depressing, obviously. So, yeah.
And it's killing the culture.
Yes.
Yeah. Another question from IRC. That was, how long did it take to compile?
Well, I think that's what we were kind of alluding to, that we put it off until Saturday afternoon.
I didn't hear the question.
How long did it take to compile?
I saw.
Well, no. Days. No. Actually, we didn't even write the source code until Saturday.
A few days.
Yeah, no, it was basically, we got together Saturday, then Sunday, Alex and I took the train up here, because I was late booking my train ticket, and the flights were kind of expensive, so, and then we had a nice adventure, as you can imagine, with Deutsche Bahn on Sunday, so.
Thank you for traveling with Deutsche Bahn. Goodbye. Goodbye.
And then we got Julien back online on Monday. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Short but intense. Yeah.
And thus is the mark of true genius. So do we have other questions?
Yes. Yes.
One more from outside world?
Yeah. Another question from IRC. When will you play again in Berlin or any other more gigs planned?
Next thing.
Well, you play in Berlin. You live here.
Yeah, I do live here. It's true. I'll be playing, like, it should be on my website soon, something in a clavier salon in a couple of weeks here. The Classical Revolution, also every Sunday. It's a place. Well, you want to talk about this?
Well, it's at Helmholtzplatz here in Berlin. It's every Sunday evening. It's in the bar, which is called Immer Gern, and there is the so-called Classical Revolution event where musicians are playing.
Yeah, when I'm in town, we a bunch of classical musicians, they meet in a place that usually music does not resonate, you know, like bars, galleries, this is a cafe, and we just get together and jam and read from, you know, Von Blatt, like sad read, music that we don't know. So it's kind of fun. So when I'm in town, I'm going there. On the serious concert thing schedule, I think March 17, I play in the Philharmonie Kammermusikzaal with a violinist friend of mine, Ray Chen. I think that's March 17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just, I think the question was aimed as in this performance, actually.
This performance? This is the first time, so I mean, we're open to any
other
time.
We just actually wrote this for the 27 C3, so...
This is a premiere.
This gentleman here.
Hackathon.
Would you do an encore right now?
Yeah, what do you want to do? Ah, I don't think I can play it right now. I'm actually not feeling too well. So,
we have time. There is a break of an hour afterwards, right?
Yeah, just you can just keep going for as long as you like. I mean, like, you know, I'll sit here and listen to it.
Let's do data thing. Do you want to do the... Sure.
Like, what do you want? How much music? A little bit more?
Yeah, just maybe, yeah, maybe just encore. Yeah, okay, cool. All right. Right, give us 2 minutes and we'll work something out. That no 8-bit for you. Awesome.
Yeah, this is going to be the last movement of the sonata, the Beethoven Kreutzer sonata that we finished with.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Alex, Corey, and Julian. That was a... Please tell me that was a sight reading. Truly remarkable.